ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Verse 20.
Navyavadhruday adyajnyo ब्रह्मैतद् ब्रह्मवादिभिः न मुह्यन्ति न शोचन्ति न हृष्यन्ति यतो गतः।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The all-knower, the super soul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as the Brahman position by the advocates of the Absolute Truth. In such a liberated state, Brahma Bhuta, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma Bhuta situation. A devotee is inspired by the super soul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. The devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he is in a stagnant position. In the material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh. Srila Rupa Goswami said, if you could somehow get millions of ears and tongues, then you could relish spiritual bliss by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There is really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He is situated in everyone's heart and that He helps the living entity forget and remember. By the grace of the Lord, the devotee gets inspiration. तेषां सतत युक्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं ददामि बुद्धि योगं तं येन माम उपयान्तिते। To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. As stated, kushala karmanam, those engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service are guided by the super soul described in this verse as jnana, one who knows everything, past, present and future. The super soul gives instructions to the sincere unalloyed devotee on how we can progress more and more in approaching the supreme personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami in this connection says that the super soul, the plenary expansion of personality of Godhead, exists in everyone's heart. But in the heart of the devotee, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Being inspired by him, the devotee experiences increased transcendental bliss in the execution of his devotional service. So, we are reading about the activities of the Prachetas, and the saintly Vidura is hearing about the glories of the Prachetas from his spiritual master, Maitreya Muni. Now, we realize after going through the description about the activities of Prachetas that they are highly qualified and also very, very fortunate in their spiritual pursuits. How are they qualified? Because it is described that right from their birth, they were dharma snata. They were steeped in religiosity. Also, they very obediently followed the instructions of their father. So when they set out to perform the 10,000 years of their penance to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they happened to come to a place, a beautiful reservoir of water, from which they saw the beautiful form of Lord Shiva emerge. And these Prachetas were instructed by Lord Shiva himself And Lord Shiva told them that I am very pleased with you because you are very obedient, and what is more, you have set out to perform austerities to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, they had asked no favors from Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva on his own gives them the benediction, showing that the Pratyatas are indeed very, very fortunate. Then, whatever they were taught, the Lord Shiva told them how to offer prayers in glorification of the Supreme Lord. And then, for 10,000 years, these Pratyatas offered prayers, and then the Supreme Lord himself appeared before them. And he in turn also said that I am very, very pleased with you. Why? Because you have very single-mindedly, you have made it your occupational duty to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all of you are cooperating very beautifully among yourself, and thus you know I am very, very pleased with you. So the Lord also gave them the benediction that they could enjoy the earthly planet and also the pleasures of the heavenly planets for 1,000,000 years, and then eventually they would be attaining unadulterated loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which is called as Anapainya Bhakti, and then go back home, back to Godhead. So indeed, this is nothing but significant good fortune for the Pratyetas. So Srila Prabhupada makes a very interesting observation about these benedictions that the Pratyetas have received. Srila Prabhupada says that if one is placed in opulence due to special mercy of the Supreme Lord, then one should not consider this opulence to be a bondage. Very many times we try to shy away from opulence, or we have some specific ideas about opulence. We are rather worried. But Srila Prabhupada here makes a very, very interesting comment. He says that if one is placed in opulence by the mercy of the Lord, we should not treat it as a bondage. Instead, he says that a mature devotee knows how to employ material opulence in service of the Supreme Lord. So this very beautiful instruction we can learn from the lives of the Pratyetas. So in this verse, the Supreme Lord tells the Pratyetas, he is instructing the Pratyetas, that is also their very good fortune, that the super soul described as Jnana, we also know him, Bhagavad Gita describes him as Kshetrajna. Two types of Kshetrajnas, one is the living entity, the Atma, and the super soul, who is also Kshetrajna. So one is the inferior or the subordinate knower, other one is the supreme knower. So herein it is said that the super soul described as Jnana gives instruction to his sincere and unalloyed devotees on how they can make progress in their spiritual lives. So the super soul in the heart of the devotee, Prabhupada says, makes everything very, very increasingly fresh. And such a wonderful devotee, for him there is no bewilderment, and nor does he become unnecessarily jubilant, or nor does he lament. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Shochati na Kankshasi. He is on that platform of Brahma Bhuta situation. So let us in gratitude discuss something about the super soul today. All of you are already aware. I will make a very feeble attempt to discuss it. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it is described, Sarvasya chaham rudhi sannivishto matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha. Srila Prabhupada makes reference to this particular verse. So the compassionate Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as super soul, accompanies every living entity. This is his supreme manifestation of yoga, Yogeshwarya, actually. He's there, he is present in every living entity's form, and he, it is described, gives the smriti, that is remembrance, and then he gives jnana, he gives apohanam, and we are going to discuss something about inspiration, which is going to be the topic for the day. So smriti, remembrance. So the Supreme Lord, a super soul, gives us remembrance. Every day when we go to sleep and when we get up, we remember who we are. If I were to sleep one night as Vrishabhanudas and next day morning get up thinking that I am a butterfly or I am a cockroach, I would be disoriented and my life would be miserable. So we have to be very, very grateful that when we go to sleep, when we don't remember anything, next day when we get up, we remember who we are, and then we can do our worldly activities. So this is a very great benediction of the super soul on every living entity. So this benediction is there for all of us, whether we are devotees or otherwise. Then we have also when the spirit soul leaves the body and accepts another body, so it is the Paramatma who oversees this particular transition, and he reminds us what were our desires, what made us accept a new body in the first place, which the material nature fabricated for our use. So that also the Paramatma makes us, you know, aware of that. Also when we are, you know, after the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation, when we are in the body of Mahavishnu, and then again when we are thrown out in the material creation, at that point in time also the Paramatma accompanies us. So he is very, very benign and very, very kind, and he gives us remembrance. If we were not to remember what we have studied, what we have read, then we would be in a very miserable condition indeed. Then the Supreme Lord as Paramatma also gives us jnana. He gives us jnana. So without knowledge, there can never be any activity. Right from our very birth, as soon as a baby is born, the baby has a knowledge that it has to suck the mother's breast for milk. Now this knowledge, the baby has not acquired in any university or in any IIT. By instinct, survival instinct, this knowledge, every creature, every living entity has it. It is described that a newly born lizard, it sticks its tongue out so that it can capture an insect for survival. So this knowledge the Lord gives. Then again, there are various forms of knowledge. We want to go into details of that. If the living entity wants to acquire Jada Vidya, the formal education that the Paramatma facilitates. If you want to acquire Atma Vidya, Adhyatma Jnana, that also the Lord facilitates. So depending upon what our propensities are and what our inclinations are, the super soul is forever kind and benign and gives us whatever we want. Then Apohanam, he also gives us forgetfulness. Now this is one of the greatest blessings of the Lord, that we do not remember what we did in our childhood or even at a later stage in our lives, and especially what we did in our past lives, we don't remember. This is the benediction of the super soul. If we were to remember the things that we did in our past lives, we would be miserable. We won't have a pleasant moment in our lives, because we don't know how many sinful activities we have committed, how many people we have hurt, so we really don't remember. So Krishna says to Arjuna, he says, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacha Arjuna, tani aham veda sarvani, natvam veta parantapa. So Krishna tells Arjuna that I remember the past, the present and the future of every birth that I have taken and also you have taken. Of course, the Lord never takes birth. Janma karma cha me divyam. But whatever birth you have taken, whatever you have done, all your desires, all your aspirations, all your frustrations through various lives, I remember every one of them. But you don't remember. So past, present and future, the Supreme Lord knows. So this is also one of the benedictions. Now this forgetfulness is something that can happen to anyone, even in a state of disease. Sometimes people forget. I used to know a very, very, very pious lady. Unfortunately, in her old age, she developed this, what they call, I don't know the technical term, developed this, what is called an interrupted memory. She would, you know, eat her meals and would go and wash her hands. While washing her hands, she would ask the hostess, haven't you cooked anything today? So she has already forgotten that she has eaten what was cooked. So her brain is not registering that, you know, she has eaten. Though she has eaten a very heavy meal, she would completely forget like that. So this forgetfulness is there. Sometimes it's a blessing also for one who is suffering. Because in such a state, you are somewhat, you know, tranquil. Otherwise, we suffer a lot. So this way, forgetfulness is also one of the benedictions of the Supreme Lord, especially as Paramatma. But one of the most important things which is the subject matter of today's verse according to my perception is that the super soul gives us inspiration. So super soul is the fountainhead of inspiration You can call it flash, you can call it brainwave, call it what you will. So here is the fountainhead of this particular inspiration. And as we are aware, inspiration is not ever linked to the struggle or the effort that we put in. It is something which the Supreme Lord gives to us in an instant. You may have struggled and toiled to get a particular thing, but it never comes to you, an idea, it never occurs to you. But in a trice, you get that. That is also the contribution and gift of the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul. And here, there is no distinction. Every living entity, at some point in our time, he gets, has got some inspiration, and he said, I really didn't think of it, but suddenly I thought of it. So whether you are a scientist, whether you are an artist, you are whatever your vocation, and you are a devotee, that is the subject matter here, whatever, you will always, at some point in time, get an inspiration. And this inspiration comes from the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul. And this comes in a very, very unique way to everyone. It may come when you see something, when you read something, or when you are not doing anything in particular. Suddenly, you know, you get an inspiration, brainwave. It could also be while we are chanting. So various ways the Lord, you know, manifests, he presents something to you, and you know, you are, if you are grateful, it is wonderful. Now, we see that there are artists like Michelangelo, for instance. Now, he would see a beautiful picture in a stone. Now, if I see a stone, the stone is a stone. But to a Michelangelo, who is gifted by the Lord, he sees within it a beautiful picture. And all that he does is takes a chisel and carves out that which is not necessary. He removes according to him what is not necessary. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj had once given this example of Michelangelo, and he had said that just as the artist, you know, chisels off what is not necessary, similarly we have to understand that Krishna consciousness is our main thing, that is our main occupational duty, and whatever is not required, we should just chisel off, just throw it off. So this way, an artist gets inspired to carve out something with a chisel or whatever. Somebody else, you know, may see a beautiful landscape and, you know, he comes out with a painting. So that way, there are different ways people get inspired. And Isaac Newton, he sees an apple falling, and from that, he is inspired to come out with theory of gravity. Now, if I see an apple falling, I may collect it and eat it. But no, to Newton it was something else. From that phenomenon, he just, you know, could come out with laws of gravity. So every person is inspired in a very unique way to achieve some goal, to achieve something in his life. And this comes from Paramatma. And a grateful soul acknowledges this. A devotee most certainly acknowledges inspiration. So like that. And then we have the famous Archimedes finding out, you know, how the bodies float on water. And he shouts, Eureka, Eureka, you know, I have come to know something. That's inspiration. So this is inspiration for you. Then being a chemist, I would like to cite one example from chemistry. That was my bread and butter for many years. We have this very famous example of Auguste Kekulé. Now, yes, Kekulé was a very brilliant chemist from London, and he became famous for finding out the structure of benzene. Now, benzene, people may have heard of. It has got 6 carbons and 6 hydrogens. Formula is C6H6. And this particular material, benzene, is like a brick, even now in today's industry, whether it is pharmaceutical industry, dye stuff industry, wherever. Benzene is used everywhere. Now, this particular chemical, you can call it, was known in 1825. But for 40 long years, nobody knew how these 6 carbons and 6 hydrogens are arranged. It was a mystery. And Kekulé was all the time, you know, thinking about it, but had not found a solution. He was actually obsessed with the idea that he has to find a structure for this. I mean, only 6 carbons, 6 hydrogens, how they are arranged? We can't find out. It was a problem. Problem in organic chemistry. But then it is described that One fine day, I would like to quote his words. After 40 years, he came to a conclusion. And he made this honest confession before the Royal Society of London. He made this confession. He says that I was once sitting, writing at my textbook, but my work was not progressing. He says that my thoughts were elsewhere. Happens to most of us. Our thoughts are elsewhere. So, he says that I turned my chair to the fireside and dozed. Again, he says, the atoms, the carbon atoms and the hydrogen atoms, were gamboling before my eyes, all twisting and turning. And they were twisting and turning in a snake-like motion. But then he says, but look, one of the snakes had seized its own tail and bitten it. So when I saw that form, he says, later on to the members of the Royal Society, that I realized suddenly what must be the structure of benzene. The carbon, you know, was, you know, catching hold of its own tail. Carbon was joined to a carbon. Until then, nobody knew that carbon can join carbon and form a ring structure. So this mystery was revealed to him. And then he made a very wonderful statement. Call it wonderful if you like. Made a statement to this Royal Society. He said, let us learn to dream, gentlemen. Then perhaps we shall learn the truth. He said, we should all learn to dream. And then we'll learn the truth. Now, you may not agree. We don't want to dream. But actually, we realize that materialistic life is sometimes a dream for all of us. But then this is what Kekulé, at least he was honest. He didn't say that, you know, by my brilliance, you know, I came out with the structure. He admitted that it was an inspiration. Thus, everyone in all walks of life gets some inspiration or the other. And out of this inspiration is born sometimes a hypothesis, some kind of a theory, some discovery, which brings such a person name, fame, prestige and everything. All these people became very, very famous in their lives for whatever they were able to get, and which was entirely the gift of the super soul. However, a devotee is, how does he get inspired? What does he do? So it is described here that Srila Prabhupada makes this very beautiful statement. He says that a devotee is inspired by the super soul within the heart to advance in devotional service in variety of ways. The devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he is stagnant position. In other words, a devotee is forever in a mood where he comes out, he is brimming with ideas. What do I do? Now I have this inspiration. How do I, you know, serve Krishna? How do I serve my spiritual master? What activity should I do to attract more and more devotees? This is the kind of inspiration that a devotee, you know, derives. Sometimes we have the examples like exalted devotees like Madhavendra Puri, and he sees the Supreme Lord himself coming and instructing him in a dream. Like he comes as Gopal and tells him, you build a temple for me. Now this is a very different state wherein he gets direct instruction. Or sometimes the devotees get so inspired, like the Prachetas now. We are reading about Prachetas. The Prachetas, you know, where they got the darshan of the Supreme Lord, and we will find in the next few verses, there are prayers by Prachetas. So they are inspired to chant prayers. So there are devotees who see the form, the Archavigraha form of the Lord, or they see the Supreme Lord, and they are inspired to come out with prayers in glorification of the Lord. But I would like to cite a few examples from Srila Prabhupada's life, from the Lilamrut. So how a pure devotee of the Lord uses his inspiration, or how does he get inspired? Some failures, some successes. So Srila Prabhupada was in Jhansi. Her Grace Urmila Mataji made a reference to this particular pastime of Srila Prabhupada. The year was 1953. He was not yet Srila Prabhupada. He was Abhay Charan Day at that point in time. He had already become a Vanaprasthi. He had retired and he was on the threshold, and he went to Jhansi for the purpose of preaching. He wanted to preach and spread the gospel of Lord Chaitanya. With that aim, he went to Jhansi. And after reaching there, he found that there were a few devotees who were willing to go along with him. And thus, Prabhupada thought that maybe this Jhansi could be a place where, you know, I can perform my devotional service, can do my preaching very nicely. All the time, Srila Prabhupada had one burning desire in his heart, and that was to carry out the instruction of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to start an organization, which he wanted to call as League of Devotees, which would have a worldwide, you know, activities, and where all kinds of preaching would be done. So this was one of the desires in Srila Prabhupada's mind. I'll call him Prabhupada. So he had that burning desire in his mind. And it is described that one day, he went for his morning walk, and he was accompanied by one Mr. Mulik, was accompanied by him. So as they were going on their walk, they happened to see a very picturesque temple complex. And the temple complex was called as Bharati Bhavan, I believe. And the main structure in that Bharati Bhavan was what was known as Radha Mahal. And as Prabhupada glanced at that picturesque temple complex, he happened to see on the stone, in that Radha Mahal on the stone, there was an inscription in Sanskrit. Now this is described in Lilamrut. I'm just repeating what is there. So there was on the stone an inscription, and it said, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when Srila Prabhupada saw this very wonderful inscription, immediately Prabhupada, you know, he was inspired. He turned to his friend, Mr. Malik, and told him, so this particular, you know, structure, this particular building complex, it is meant for executing my Guru Maharaj's project. Immediately, that was the first, you know, thing that inspired him. And then they went and met the owner of that complex. His name was Mr. Dayal. And then also the resident there, one Mr. Mishra. And there were discussions about this project which Srila Prabhupada wanted to have there. And all of them seemed to be very agreeable. All of them went along with Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada surveyed all the buildings. He went to various rooms and saw how many vacant rooms were there. He saw that only one or two rooms were being used for Gita classes, that too on Sundays. So when he saw the rooms, how did he react? This is what I want to describe. So when he saw one of the rooms, Srila Prabhupada said, this is a very big hall. This is going to be suitable for large gatherings and kirtan when there is large gathering. Then he saw another room. He said, this room is ideal for housing Lord Chaitanya's Archavigraha form. So, look at the way the devotee, you know, thinks. He doesn't think of himself, where will my cot be, where I will be sleeping. No, this room is, you know, for Lord Chaitanya's Archavigraha. Then he says that this room should be, you know, for brahmacharis, should be for sannyasis. Then he says that particular area should be for a goshala. Look at the way the devotee's mind is working. And he says that from here, the BTG distribution can be carried out. This way Prabhupada, you know, was thinking. This way the Lord was inspiring him to think. And then he started his Sankirtan movement. Initially only two of them. And then 50. It became 50. Soon enough. So everything seemed to be going rosy. Everything went off well. But finally, the plan did not succeed due to some political reasons, that building which was actually promised to Srila Prabhupada, that was taken away. And thus, ISKCON was not born in India. ISKCON was born in the United States of America. So, there not only was Krishna consciousness introduced there, but actually there was an explosion of Krishna consciousness, and from there, Krishna consciousness percolated down to us. So, this is the way the Lord inspired Srila Prabhupada. So, he had to fit into the extraordinary plan which Krishna had for him, to give up his own individual plan. So this is what we learn, that we have to give up our personal agenda and try to fit into the greater plan which the Supreme Lord has for us. So this is what Srila Prabhupada did. And then I would like to narrate this very beautiful incident that happened in San Francisco when Srila Prabhupada was there. This happened in 1967. So all of you know the story. One day, Malati Mataji, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, she came and met Srila Prabhupada, and she took out a small item out of her shopping bag and she placed it in front of Prabhupada's desk for his inspection. And she said, what is this, Swamiji? So Prabhupada looked down and he beheld a black smiling face, big round eyes, and the figure had stubby forward jutting arms and a simple green and yellow torso with no visible feet. So as soon as Prabhupada saw this small figure, Prabhupada immediately folded his palms and he offered his obeisances and he told Malati Mataji, he said that, and he started smiling and his eyes became very, very bright with joy. And he said that, "Oh Malati Mataji, you have brought the Lord of the universe. You have brought Krishna." Then Malati Mataji remembered that in the store where she had bought this small figure, there were other figures, one smaller and one of the same size. So she told this to Prabhupada. Prabhupada immediately told her, "Go get those figures." And then she with Shyam Sundar Prabhu, both of them went to that store and they acquired the other two small figures of the set. And Subhadra Mai and Balaram, they acquired those three small figures. And then when Srila Prabhupada saw those three beautiful small forms, immediately he was inspired to do so many things, which is now history. First of all, he said to Shyam Sundar Prabhu, in fact he said, "Is there anyone who knows how to carve out forms out of wood?" Shyam Sundar Prabhu said that, "I am a wood sculptor, I can do it." And then he asked Shyam Sundar Prabhu to carve out 3 feet high forms of Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. Then he said that, "When you do this activity, I will personally install these figures in a temple." And thereafter he said something more significant. He said that in future now, San Francisco should be called New Jagannath Puri. So, thus you can see how a devotee of the Lord gets inspired from within. And this is history. It is. Every one of us knows what happened thereafter. Then of course we have had so many other things developed, the Jagannath Yatras and so many things. So the pure devotee of the Lord gets newer and newer ideas, as Prabhupada himself says, that he is never hackneyed or stereotyped, he is never stagnant, keeps on developing newer and newer ideas. And thus we find that Prabhupada's contributions very many times are also based on a simple inspiration which has led to such great historic developments. Then I would like to cite an example which Hayagriva Prabhu has given in his book, that Hare Krishna Explosion. He says that in 1968, Hayagriva Prabhu wrote a letter to Prabhupada. And in the letter he said that in this West Virginia, there is a 320-acre plot of land and there is a possibility of starting an ashram there. Now this letter was written by Hayagriva Prabhu, and what was Srila Prabhupada's response? Immediately he responded, not a moment lost. He said, "I wish that this big tract of land, 320 acres, be turned into New Vrindavan." He had just heard that there is a possibility of acquiring a land. And immediately, the pure devotee of the Lord is inspired. Says that, "Let us convert it. Let it be called, you know, New Vrindavan." Says then further, "You have New York, you have New England, and so many new duplicates of European countries. So why not New Vrindavan?" And he says, "Anyway, we already have, you know, New Jagannath Puri. So we already have that. San Francisco is Jagannath Puri now, New Jagannath Puri. So why not have this?" And then Prabhupada says something very, very beautiful. I quote from Leela Amrut. Says, "In New Vrindavan, everything will be Krishna conscious because everything will be for Krishna. So building houses, tending cows and working in the fields will also be Bhakti Yoga. The hills you can name as Govardhan. There must be pastures for the cows and ghats for bathing like Keshi Ghat. Oh, I will give you so many names." So this is how Srila Prabhupada got inspired. A simple letter a few words from his dear disciple, or an innocent act on part of Malati Mataji, just to get, she must have brought it to show something like a toy, you know, something, an exhibit, museum piece. But then, for the pure devotee, it is not a trivial thing. It is something which grows. So, rest, as they say, is history. New Vrindavan is history. Huh? So many devotees there. Our spiritual master comes to, from that place. So, this way, we can look at various inspirations which Srila Prabhupada had, and we can recognize that the super soul in the heart of a pure devotee reciprocates with him in various ways and gives him beautiful plans to execute, and through that process give him more and more devotional service and place him on a very joyous platform, as it is said. So in that activity which the devotee performs, he, if it doesn't succeed, he doesn't lament. Like Srila Prabhupada didn't give up when, you know, the Jhansi plan failed, on which he has really toiled. He doesn't lament on that. He is brimming with newer and newer ideas to execute, all to please the spiritual master and all to please the Supreme Lord Krishna. So he doesn't lament, doesn't become unnecessarily jubilant when something succeeds. So as soon as something succeeds, he becomes very vigilant, sees that, you know, his disciples don't become, you know, proud. This is how the great Vaishnava acharyas and the spiritual masters function. Now, we also in this temple, we are having also so many activities performed. We have the Prerana festival, we have the Chetana festival. Prerana is also inspiration, festival of inspiration and joy. So many of activities these are done. Why are they done? The devotees are inspired. The Lord in their heart, as the super soul, inspires them to undertake more and more activities, so that more and more devotees are attracted, are drawn to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So this is how inspiration really works in case of a devotee. And this is very, very wonderful and very, very joyous. I remember that we also had the different darshans of Gopalji. I always used to marvel every Sunday, new darshan. So wonderful, so beautiful. People, devotees work so hard to give that. Why? I mean, Gopalji could have been just Gopalji, but no. The devotees felt inspired that every day we should have, you know, new darshan of the Lord. So this way, the devotees, you know, inspire one another. And the Lord within inspires them and they inspire one another. And this is how devotional service should actually go. Otherwise, in this material world, all of us face so many difficulties, sometimes problems of health, problems of employment, so many types of problems. So all of us require inspiration. But if you only turn inward to the Supreme Lord, then the Supreme Lord himself gives that inspiration. Some devotees have used this inspiration for very, very extraordinary causes. One example comes to mind is that of Ladini Mataji. So when she and other devotees were facing the execution squad, what inspired her to be the first one, you know, to face the bullets of the execution squad? So sometimes the Paramatma within propels a devotee to, you know, face such, do such wonderful heroic activities also. So all things said and done, we have got to be very, very grateful that the Lord from within is willing to inspire us when we feel lazy, when we feel drained out. All that we have to do is to just, you know, surrender to the Lord within. Sarvasya Chaham Hrudi Sannivishto. He is there within us. Try to look within and try to derive inspiration and try to perform devotional service. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any comments or questions, please feel free.
Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.